your face, you catching all the buzz. Highly inappropriate, they call the nut. Helping niggas flourish on the daily. This, that shea butter, shenanigans we may cover. The first to fall alive, look, it's a play, brother. You see it, this is excellence. Fiji County, no precedence. We black women, we the extra shit. This podcast, a testament, that's real talk. So get ready to light it up, we bout to blow. And pour some Henny, can tell you hood rat cousins about the show, yo.
This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Bitch, look at this profile picture. You did that, honey. Come through photo. Picture? Looks. When you log in, girl, you don't see your face.
Wait, I'm lost. What picture?
Okay, so you called in. You didn't log in through the phone. I mean, the computer, excuse me.
No, I did it through the phone.
Bitch, when you log in through the computer, you can see your profile picture. Girl, you got this sexy photo here. Give me all
so
the smiles and smoky eye, bitch, and lip.
Oh. Okay, because, you know, when I got home, I tried to do it through the computer. So that's probably, and I was like, they wanted me to sign up. And then I was like, oh, this is too much time. But I clicked, you know, the sign in as Google. And then they wanted company size. I said, oh, no, this is, I just got home. I can't compute. So I just switched over to the phone. I was like, company size. The fuck? I'm like, what else y'all need?
Love I haven't. I was like, I haven't logged into that thing in so long. I don't even know what it asks when you got to set up that thing, but I didn't even. I mean, it is for business, but still, like, that's just a lot. You're right. Like, no one has time for that. Yeah.
And then, you know, I know you was waiting too, so I was like, no, I'll just go through the phone.
It's all good. I ain't doing shit but sitting here smoking. It's okay.
You're so I wish I was, but I just got home.
It's all right. Do you have your beverage?
No.
You don't even have a beverage? Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, hold on. Before we go any further, let's get the formalities out of the way. Good evening, everybody. This is week 3 of Highly Inappropriate. It is I, your host, Cook Simmons, and I am here this week with the lovely, lovely Deirdre. Deirdre, say hello and introduce yourself to everyone so that everyone at home knows who is with us this week.
Hi, everybody. I'm Deirdre. I co-host a podcast with my friends. Called Where's My 40 Acres under Miss Music Lover. And
you may have heard of them, over devil.
Just maybe, you know. Just maybe. and where I talk all my shit. And then and then I also have an IG where I do craft beer reviews and all that good stuff. And mm-hmm. that is at Craft Beer Killer. So
mm-hmm. yep. that is me. Absolutely. Excuse me.
Yes, honey. What is this? Sounds great. Me. What are you smoking?
Okay, let's just get right into it. So the strain of tonight.
It sounds great, whatever it is.
Whoo, excuse me. It's cookies. I've been puffing on it all day, off and on. Let me pull up the information. I do, you know, Girl Scout cookies are my favorite. So hold on, let me make sure I got this right. It says cookies on the thing. But there are all kinds of cookies, just FYI. There are Euphoria cookies, Fortune cookies, White cookies, Ghost cookies, Peppermint cookies, Cadillac cookies, Sugar cookies, Cinnamon cookies, Cookies and Dream. Then there's Platinum Girl Scout cookies, Hawaiian cookies, Blue cookies, GMO cookies, and Critters cookies. Now, I've
had... I thought you were going to say glucose-free cookies, and I was like...
No.
I don't need that one.
No. Mm-mm. We don't do... See, and I'm glad... I appreciate that. To me, glucose-free is like CBD. Like, I don't... partake. But I've had those blue cookies, and they are nice. Nice. It's like Blue Dream and Girl Scout cookies mixed together.
Are the Euphoria cookies, like, is it going to give me, like, the odd effect of the show?
You know what? Now, that's a different type of euphoria that that little girl's on.
Will it give me as-like effects? You know, I mean.
I don't think you want those effects.
I don't. I like, maybe I'm telling myself, like, it's like, I don't. But
I'm just the curious.
Natural curious person that I am is like, I kind of want to try it. But I don't want all, like, the fucked up after effects. Like. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know me. I'm all for experimentation. I say try it at least once. And you know, that way, that's the best way for you to make sure you know you like it anyway. Mm. But
I agree.
I would say, you know, at this stage in your life, you know, get a sober buddy and try it, you know, and see how you like it. But just do it one time. Like,
right.
You know, like I'm waiting for... As soon as I find the right sober buddy, I really want to try mushrooms. That's like my
listen.
That's like, you know, safe space. It's our safe space right now.
I said the mushrooms, and so I've never done like ecstasy. Mm-mm. I remember I've had like conversations with like a boyfriend, past boyfriend, and I was like, yeah, let's, you know. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it with you. And God was like, no, bitch, we're not gonna do it with him. Mm-hmm. So it never happened. And like, especially nowadays, they be cutting too much shit with all that stuff. Cause you don't know if you're getting pure stuff or you getting a fourth ecstasy and like 3/4 Johnson baby powder. Like, I can't.
Or Sudafed or Ajax. I just don't trust anybody. I don't. And that's all the thing. I want to be somewhere where it's like, I want to know someone who put, you know, perhaps maybe grew the mushrooms. Well, do you grow mushrooms, right? I think you grow them. I don't know how they're prepared. I don't know. See, this is the thing. This is the hard part about being a stoner. I only know about weed. Like, that's it. Like, now I know what I can take with my weed. Like, I know I can pop, you know, maybe a pill of my weed. I know I can drink with my weed, you know, as far as, you know, a nigga go. If I'm sick, I know what medications I could take with my, I mean, I really smoke through everything. Like, fuck it. It doesn't matter. If I'm sick, I'm smoking through it. It doesn't really matter. But I know, like, at worst, all I'm going to do is go to sleep. At worst, I'm just going to go to sleep. That's the worst thing that's going to happen. I'm going to eat up everything in my kitchen and then pass out. Period. That's it. But I would like to try the psychedelic mushrooms. I mean, I don't know. Maybe one time just do some acid. I've had some friends who've done it. I've had friends like who've done E with their boyfriends and who've done like, you know, one friend, she did do some acid at a rave. And like, I've had friends who've done that, but at the time when they did it, that's just not where I was in life. So it was just like, I kind of watched everybody do it. I was like, I'm going to sit here with my joints. Like, I'm good. But I wouldn't mind, but I need a buddy. I need someone to take the trip with me that all like, I ask, just don't let me get butt naked and go outside. Like,
That I trust wholeheartedly. Like, I have a friend who does stunts for movies. So he's been like in Black Panther, like all the Marvel stuff. Cause you know, they film a lot of this stuff here in Atlanta. So he, you know, like if I go to his house and stuff, he'll be like, oh, you know, you want this cocaine? I'll be like, excuse me.
No.
I mean, it's just like, it's just so, because no, it's so readily available, especially, you know, on set, that he'll just have it like chilling, you know, on his house next to the apples. Like, it's just there. And I'll be like, I'm not there.
That's another one. I have not heard anything bad about cocaine, you know, as far as, you know, being in a functioning academic, would be the best way to describe me. I'm an academic, but I did do drugs. However, I did not do hard drugs, contrary to popular belief. So I have, like, for me, I was never big on cocaine because it was expensive, number one. Number two, I don't, as a naturally anxious person and sometimes energetic person, I don't need to be up. I don't need to be up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't not. And people who do cocaine seem to really be up.
That's they are.
So I just I had a friend who took it from me one time. She refused to offer it to me. She was like, no, you're not going to do it. And I appreciate her.
Well, at least he told
you. But she was like, you're not going to do anything?
I can't do that.
Yeah. She said, just sit there and smoke weed. And she frantically chopped
over.
I was just like, oh my God. It's just the look of it. Just the whole razor thing. I was like, this is a lot. This
right.
Oh God, this is like a lot.
I know when he's on it because he's on like 40 levels, and I'd be like, "You smoked it, you like?" Because he'd be like, "Use your left. Let's do this. Let's climb this tree. Let's go to Stone Mountain. Just climb Stone Mountain at like 2 a.m." And I'm like, "Bro, I just wanted some wings. Like, this is all I wanted: the wings and some vodka. Like, I didn't come here to do all this."
But that's how I know
he's on 30 levels, and I was like,
And see, that's the thing. No. When it was finals time and I was hanging around my law school friends, you could tell, like, there were kids in there, like, they were on coke studying for the bar, studying for finals, studying for exams, and they just, like, I mean, as a stoner who has read books high so that I can retain knowledge while high and take an exam, I don't knock it because I get it. It is something to substance levels in your memories. That's like a total thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like to do it and then stay up all night studying for the bar and stuff. And then some of them really passed. Like, I was like, that's a whole other level for me.
Wow.
That was a lot.
That's crazy.
That was a lot. But, you know, these are your lawyers. Like, that's why. It's like,
right.
Like, that's great. Okay. Like, listen, yep. Some of your doctors.
The people that do surgery on you. I mean, like, because, you know, I work in the hospital. I work in the ED. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many doctors coming in, like, rooted out of their mind, whether it be drugs or they drunk or both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to stay up and they, you know, performing, you know, exams and saving lives. Shit. They be doing it. They be in trauma. Like a rock star, and they be taking niggas up to the OR, saving lives, and you be like, I know you haven't slept in like a week.
Yeah.
You got too much energy.
That is one thing that I'm glad I didn't my original major was psychology. I wanted to be a forensic psychologist.
Ooh.
So I knew I could have ended up like J-Lo in the cell, like going home, rolling a joint, and then getting into some psychedelic trap with some man. It just, oh Jesus, some killer. That just would have been my whole thing. And then I was like, nah, I gotta get out of this. And I just studied finance. And it was funny because when I went to Wall Street, that was kind of like the running joke, was just like, you know, everyone's on the floor trading for all the coke. Like, that's like a major thing on Wall Street. Like, it's a lot of coke up there.
Oh,
I didn't go to Wall Street either. I went other ways where it was okay. Where I've been at my job as long as I have because I don't have to take a piss test. And that is my lifestyle right there.
That, you know, the good stuff of certain things. That's one thing surprisingly about my job, as it being a hospital. Like, you do the drug test to get the job, but they don't do random because they know pretty much about 3/4 of the hospital, including like your C-suite, will be gone. So they only do it if you are out on FMLA more than 2 weeks. Then they'll drug test you because you got to do like a little physical and stuff. But yeah, I'm so happy about that. Like,
let me tell you, honey, I couldn't work in the hospital. I couldn't do it. I would be taking home all the ice. I would be, girl, I'd be in there taking that ice home. I'd be in there taking all kinds of shit home.
I mean, you know, the good thing about the hospital, yes, because I do take stuff home. And then it's free, you know. I mean, like, something's wrong with me, I just go to the medical director and be like, can you write me a prescription? Mm-hmm. Sure. Done. See? Like, I don't feel good. I mean, Z-Pak, where's, you know, Dr. Such and Such. I mean, there are perks to the hospital.
That is a perk.
You know, drugs included, you know, depending on who your doctor is, for free $99.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good stuff to the hospital, but, you know, there's the foolishness that comes with it, too. Like, I had somebody come in with a rooster on a leash, come into the ED, like, upset because security would not let him sit down in D.C. because he said that was his service animal. I can't. I wish I could like lie and tell you that was like that's not true. But it's just like, this is my morning. A whole ass rooster. And hard ass Atlanta, a fucking rooster. He comes with a leash.
I'd have fried that.
He's
bitch.
Mad because he said that's his service animal. Like, he
I'd have rang that bitch neck. And fried it.
He don't understand why he can't come in. He said, "This is my service animal."
Nasty though? Like,
yeah,
that chicken could have walked in its own feces.
Yes, disgusting.
Absolutely. No, Jesus Christ! Okay, all right. What the fuck are you? If you're in distress, what the fuck is a fucking rooster going to do for you?
It can't do nothing. But that's a service animal. It was serious as shit. Like, what wanted to see, like, all, like, the managers. Because he said he was being discriminated against. He says everybody else's service animals couldn't come over. And he was like, I got a card. I don't have it on me right now. But he's like, I got a card.
Come back with your card.
He says, I don't have the card with me right now, but I got a card. So that my rooster on this dog leash is my service animal.
Like I said, I absolutely would have wrung its neck right in front of him. Don't do that.
Absolutely.
Girl, so do you have your...
in the hospital.
Speaking of roosters, do you have your top five list?
So, I read this a couple of ways. Is this like five ways to say dick?
That's cock. The
first thing I thought of.
It's cock. Cock.
I don't compute cock, so I was like, maybe it's dick.
Cock.
And I have different ways to
cock. Okay, we're talking cock. Okay, so here's the thing.
What white porn did you watch?
First of all, I am the president of the Black Girls Who Like to Say Cock Commission.
No, you're not.
I am. Man. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
Why?
I'm not ashamed.
You don't even flow off the tongue right.
First of all, how the fuck do you not say cock and not get tickled immediately? And how do you not giggle when you hear that shit? Cock.
But I'm not trying to giggle at a dick. Like, it's that's
cock. Listen, not dick. Cock.
No. Cock. No, ma'am.
Cock.
What in the world? So you get technicals when you see, I've seen spotted cock in a jar at World Market once. I think it came from, I think it's English.
You have to follow the instructions of the top five. Tonight's top five is top five ways to say cock. This is for you, Tanisha, because she wanted to know. Now, I am a terrorist to my friends. I have friends who do not like the word cock. They don't appreciate it when I say it. However, I find every opportunity available to say it. And I live for it because it's such an entertaining word. First of all, everyone always gets all discombobulated when you say cock, and I find that funny. And then when I say it, and depending on how I say it, I am completely entertained.
What? So. What? That word doesn't cock.
Doesn't it just befuddlement? You're befuddled right now. It's just cock.
So if you with a dude, you're gonna be like, pull your cock out.
No.
I'm just saying, like, I'm probably taking this because
I like,
we're gonna have to have some combos after this phone call because.
At this point, I'm just fully invested in my ain't shitness. And I do, but I, like no bullshit. Like, I do like to say cock. I do. It's funny. It's fun. Cock.
Is it really? Oh my God. I never heard of that word until I saw literally a white porn. And I was like,
No, you know what? I remember one time in undergrad, this boy called my vagina cock, and I was like, bruh,
huh?
It was a vagina. But it was the 90s in Baltimore. Okay.
Let
me tell you something, okay? That nigga said cock, and I was like, oh God. He's like, are you.
Can I eat the cock? Like,
no. He said, I heard you let that nigga beat that cock up. I was like, ah!
Oh my god.
Beat up your cock, and I was like, oh no. Which, you know, it wasn't even a bad thing because it was fine, okay? I knocked that shit the fuck down. But it was just funny because.
You was like, I'll let that slide because you're fine.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've had our moments of like ancient niggas that look really are not smart. And you'd be like, but you fine.
Like, they could really have been on the, they could have easily been prison day, but darker. Like, easily. Like, they were some fine ass thugs. I'm sorry. They were fine.
Oh, you'd be like, you really not that smart, but at least you have sex very well. We're just not gonna have a conversation.
That illiterate cock, my nigga, be hitting, bruh. Like, that shit hit different. You know what I'm saying?
I can't say it.
Listen, so number five, there's the basic way to say cock, which is cock, right? Then you definitely say it, you know, on your porn steeds when you're like, it's cock.
When they're on it and saying cock, I'd be like, this is pressing.
I want your cock in me.
They're not saying when they're talking to a nigga. That's one thing I will notice. Like, them white girls ain't saying no cock when they fucking a nigga. They only say it with them white boys.
I know, it's always either your big black cock or your dick.
They did. They want to say nigga, but, you know.
Jesus.
That just can't.
Right.
Cock.
Cock.
Horrible.
And then, number three. It's highly inappropriate, sis. You know why we're here.
I know. I love it.
Thank you. Number three. Then, my favorite way to say it. Is if I like to say it as if I'm from New England and I say caw.
Do you have a spot of caw?
Oh, it's a cock. Cock. Like, you know, like I'm a wall bird. The fucking cock.
Oh, this is so funny.
And then number two is when you say it like, you know, like when you, sometimes you have to say it aggressively, like just to get it out. It's like, cock.
Like a karate chop? Like,
yeah.
The visual I just had was horrible. That was a horrible visual. Oh, my God.
I want to know about this visual. You can tell me offline. It's all good. And then, number one, my favorite way to say cock. Cack.
Oh, that's the Boston, like, deep in the soul.
Cack.
The loin. Cock.
Mm-hmm. Cack. Like, give me that dack. That cack. Fun times. Oh, my gosh. Oh. I love saying it because usually by this time, my friends are just cussing me out. Just like, God damn it, cut it out. And I'm like, I can't. I would, but I can't.
How long have you had this love for this word?
You know, it's been a few years now. I mean, because I it's one of those words that whenever I hear it, I immediately am tickled. I giggle. I laugh. I say it repeatedly. And then next thing you know, I'm in a fit of laughter. Just like nipple. I think nibble is a hilarious word to me.
Nipple or nibble? Like nibbling on somebody?
No, like nipple. Like N-I-P-P-L-E. Oh, nipple. Nipple. I think nipple is hilarious. I
really?
Like, nipple is funny. It's funny.
It's nipple. It flows off the tongue so well. Nipple.
Nipple. Yeah, it's nipple.
I know that sounds kind of Pornish, but it does. It just flows off the tongue very well.
But I think it's funny when people say it or when I hear it. You don't hear it very often, but these are things that entertain me. They are.
This is why we love you, Cook.
Thank you.
Only you.
Cock.
Oh my God. And that's how the horrible white porn says it, cock. While they pull out what you would think a cock looks like is what they pull out when they say it.
Dick. Cock.
That's why white porn be just so disappointing.
You know what?
Can't do it.
It depends on where I'm at. If I'm watched or not. It depends.
I can't. Like, I've watched it because you did. I'd be like, let me see. Maybe this will be a bet. No.
The only reason why, well, sometimes, okay. All I know is there's like a section of the pornosphere where it's just like the utter, for lack of a better word, it's like the ghetto or the trailer park. It's just like, now those porns I can't watch anymore. I can't watch such. But I did try to do the whole amateur thing and I was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, white, I can't. Mm. That doesn't do anything for me. I like amateur porn. I just don't like white people amateur porn. I've gotten some bomb ass for amateur porn. Like, Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all did that, but yeah, like
I'm just tired of watching motherfuckers porn and that goddamn fire alarm going off in the background. Change the battery in your fire alarms, y'all.
Do something.
Just do it. Like, fall back, spring ahead twice a year. It's when you need to just change. Just change it. Just do it. Just do it. Every time you set your clock for the year, just do it.
I just don't like that. And then when, you know, I judge you on your bedroom because it's like any other time, yeah, you know, you might have clothes on the floor. That's your room. You pay rent, mortgage, whatever. But you're going to be filming for us to be looking at. Like, please straighten up. Like, I don't need to be seeing like your 5 weeks of clothes on the floor and the fact that you don't have a sheet over your mattress or you might not have a box spring. Like,
or
I
your box
to
is stacked to make your TV center. Listen, I'm over all of it. I feel like I deserve way more aesthetic in my porn. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I like that. But then I like amateur porn because they usually don't be like the fake moans, which I hate. I don't like when you just so happen to do your fake moan and you're going to look at the camera, can't stand it.
Or you're doing things that you know don't feel good, but you're just trying to be, you know, you're just both getting the shot off. Like, you know that don't look good with your leg like that, like for real, for real.
Mm-hmm. Like, it looks very painful. Like, girl, just let it go. And, you know, I just don't like dudes that be jackrabbing and shit, and I'd be like, now you know.
Yeah. If you don't know how to fuck, just stay home.
Right. This is not your flashlight porno stuff. Just, you know, have sex like normal people.
Oof,
all these acrobats and talking 5 million stuff, like, girl, like, don't do it, sir.
Mm-mm.
You're doing
know.
Fucking too much.
So, are you ready to get into these topics?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So I've got a whole list of topics for us this evening. This will be fun. Now that we've gotten the formalities out of the way, we did our top five. Oh, did I do my strain of the night? Oh, let me do my strain of the night.
Mm-hmm, you did.
Which one was it? I didn't read. Well, whatever. Yeah, I did it.
It was cookies.
Yep. Okay. I'll read the genome information on it. After we do these topics. Okay. So, do you remember HBO's controversial Confederate series? It was where they were supposed to be reimagining a time after the Civil War, and it was going to explore the South if the South had won.
Yes, I remember this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sources with knowledge of the project told Vulture that the showrunners who were from Game of Thrones, they are no longer involved in that, and they are going to follow their path to Netflix and work on something else there. But they were best known for creating Game of Thrones, and they wanted to, they did announce this project as their next project in 2017, but there was immediate backlash, people,
as it should have been.
And I don't appreciate them saying people's backlash. The issue was that people were like, are they the right people for the show? Meaning like, oh, two white guys making the show. Like, no one should be making the show. I do not want to imagine a world where the South successfully beat the North in the Civil War. Fuck you.
Right.
Kiss my ass. I'm tired of y'all shoveling this shit down my throat. Y'all lost. Y'all bitches clearly not over it. So you can kiss my ass.
I, you know, just more oppression. Like, as if we didn't have to deal with enough, even with the North winning. Like,
they weren't really that much better.
More depressing. Right. So why does it have to be more depressing with the South winning? Like,
no, but that's
anything
not interesting
just
to anybody.
Make us look like scum. I don't want to see that bullshit. Absolutely not.
I'm glad that that shit got tossed, got canceled. Because I was like, don't nobody want to fucking see this shit. Ain't nobody ask y'all for this shit.
Like, yeah. Like, the fact that, you know, I don't know if they thought because they were, like, you know, they vote for Game of Thrones, like, people would accept it as just as much. But nobody absolutely wants. Well, you know there are people that do want to see that shit because they're just sick of shit. But regardless, overall, nobody wants to see that. Like, put forth your efforts in doing something else. Like, giving Arya a whole ass spinoff. Like, right for that.
Like, there's, like,
no dumb shit like that.
They could, there's like 50 million other things they could do. There's 50 million other characters in Game of Thrones they could absolutely create from, and they choose to do this shit. Like, this tells me who you are. I don't care. Like, no. Mm-hmm. I don't like you. Yeah, no way. It was some bullshit. And I just was like, I'm glad it's canceled. I'm glad it's over.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Focus on something else.
Right. If it came to be, it would have made my ass itch. That's what I know. Yeah. So
I would have thrown something at the TV like my grandmother would. But.
Let me tell you something, okay? Now that would have probably made me cancel HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe after Insecure goes off, but it's definitely... definitely getting canceled at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I have HBO now was because of Game of Thrones, and then it's off. And then it was like, oh, Euphoria. So I was watching that, but now that's off. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it's just one or two shows that are keeping me holding on, like the Insecures and the, you know, like the Black, you know, women's sketch thing now.
Mm-hmm.
But that... I'd be like, I'm finding me a bootleg link. Fuck y'all. Y'all not getting these coins.
Let me tell you something. I'm about to jailbreak something and live my life like it's golden, my girl. Please. That's just the way that it is. Like, keep making these horrible ass shows. Keep it up. I feel like it's just like they're trying to desensitize us to horrible things.
They really are.
That's how I feel about it deep down. It's no secret. I mean, I don't think it's a mistake that they're coming out with some of the show contents that they do.
And like, I think some of them get like a real hard on to see this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like
The Handmaid's Tale.
See the pictures. Oh!
I mean, because I've talked with people about it who watched the show and they've, you know, explained to me some things that happened and I'm just like, I don't understand.
So I watched the first two seasons. I know season three is on. I have not gotten to it yet, but yeah, that shit is wild. It's all fucked. And then someone told me the book is, you know, more detailed than, which naturally it normally is, than the show is. But I was like, how do you think of this stuff?
Oh, Lord.
Like, even the, I remember the first time I saw the scene, because, you know, they pick the women that can bear kids. Those are the handmaids, and they have the whole sex ritual thing where, you know, the wife is behind the girl or the handmaid, and,
right,
you know, while the man's just thrusting and being all nasty and shit, and he nuts in her. I'm just like, who the fuck thinks of this?
White people.
Yes. Absolutely.
White people. That is white America, and
there's probably some truth to it. I'm sure some of them do this just like that. To be having all their little nasty stuff that they do at their house. Cause that's wild. I mean, it's just absolutely wild.
Mm.
And then, like, pretty much most of the handmaids in on the show, you know, of course, are white, and most of the Black people that did live, they're like the, you know, the cooks. I think there was maybe like, or the whores. I think it's like maybe one or two, like, handmaids, but, you know, they're more like the exoticas, like light skinned, or you know, they look like they mixed with something.
That's weird. It's weird. The people even listen. Okay, so child, I don't watch this shit. Okay, so you remember back in New York, there were some police officers who were attacked with some buckets of water by some people while they were making an arrest up in New York?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Listen to this shit. So a Republican bill that would increase penalties for throwing water on cops after a series of incidents in which members of New York's finest were doused by bucket-wielding mobs is facing some initial Democratic opposition months before the bill could even be taken up. Republicans in the state's assembly were angered by viral videos of cops being drenched by groups of local residents, with NYPD officers apparently feeling unable to respond and walking away. Police have since made a number of arrests related to the cases, but the incidents have sparked national attention. He's not my president, but that nigga, that fat nigga, calling the incident a total disgrace last month. GOP lawmakers are now introducing a bill that would make throwing or spraying water or any other substance on a police officer a Class E felony and punishable by up to 4 years in jail.
You know what? But it's fine for them to choke the fuck out of a black man or shoot their asses point blank range without doing nothing, and they can get the fuck scot free. But putting water on them, y'all want to jail people for that?
It's perfectly okay for them to shove a toilet plunger up your ass.
Yes.
It's perfectly okay for them to shoot you 41 times while you're reaching for your wallet. It's perfectly okay for them to gun you down the night before your wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't even the person, you aren't even a suspect or any a person of interest in any crime. So I just think that this is something that is egregious. And the fact that the community was throwing water on you. See, this is the type of stuff that pisses me off about the media around the police officer and the way we talk about them now, which is extremely different from the way that we used to talk about them maybe 25 years ago. But it's like they're this revered class now after 9/11, where they took, you know, a lot of that marketing and language for the fire department and applied it to themselves. And despite them, you know, doing some of the most heinous crimes and covering it up for one another, these people were throwing water on you. This is what the community does to you. Yeah, they lash out at you and they are upset at you when they have good reason to be, but this is how they respond. They didn't ambush you and shoot you and murder you and throw rocks at you and hit you with metal pipes and chains and sticks and bats. They did not attack you. They threw water on you.
They threw water on you. When, you know, our parents used to get doused with water, like full sprayed on.
Fire hoses.
That was okay. That was totally all right. You know, just because, you know, of course you're black. What does your life mean? It means nothing. But the fact that somebody douses water on you and they could go to jail for 4 years with all the other fuck shit these cops be doing and getting away with, and they're getting away with it because people don't care that it's just another black person, whether it be man or woman. If the life is lost, does not matter. They're okay with that. They could just get administrative leave, paid administrative leave at that, and then it's fucking fine. But you really did a motherfucking bill on this?
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah.
I can't stand that motherfucking press. He ain't my president either. Like, absolutely, that orange son of a bitch is not my motherfucking president. And the fact that he has this place looking like a goddamn reality TV show with all these fuck-ass bills and all this other bullshit that be going on, it's just, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. That got my pressure up.
Girl. Girl.
That really has my pressure up. The fuck? A bill? Really?
And my thing is, look at how fast they can enact this type of change in legislation. But something like clean water or funding schools, and you all have gridlock. Kiss
right.
Black is part of my ass. I'm tired. I am tired of the blatant and obvious corruption. It's to the point now where it's like, okay, y'all are literally pissing on me and telling me it's raining.
You're absolutely right.
It's they got all the time in the world to do any and every goddamn thing that we do not need them to do. They are literally serving themselves at this point.
Exactly. Just like what you said, they can put that bill in so fast, but y'all are gridlock, or y'all are letting these, like, y'all are separating children from their parents just because they're illegal immigrants. Like, you having kids in, you know, literally in, like, box jails and all this shit for, they're separated from their parents 2+ years. You're okay with that. Y'all take y'all sweet ass time with that shit. But then something, some bullshit like this, y'all really just gonna be like, oh, let's let it pass. Let it pass through. Can't throw water on a police officer. Oh, God. Because, you know, that hurts so much.
Right. And then thank goodness there's somebody on the Democrat side in the assembly in New York who's trying to stop it from going through. And then now they're crying because, like, oh, you want to just pass our bill. Like, do you really need to pass that fucking bill?
This place is going shit in a fucking handbag. I swear. Like United States are on a warning list for 2 countries. Mm-hmm. As if be warned when you come here, like, you might get shot and fucking killed. Yep. This place is going hell in a handbag.
Let me tell you something. Y'all just had to have that white man back in the office, because having Obama there hurt your pride so goddamn bad. But let me tell you something. That's why the motherfucking coal miners down in Kentucky standing up in front of that track because they ain't get paid for 2 months. Mm-hmm. Stupid asses. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all really had the, like, every election cycle, we could not have progressive environmental legislation being passed because a group of fucking white men down in Kentucky and in Appalachia wanted to fucking mine coal for a living. Fuck y'all. I don't give a damn what this white man do to you. The only solace I'm gonna get, and I know this is wrong, but it's like, the only solace I'm gonna get is that it's gonna hit you too. It's gonna hit you just as hard as it hits me this time. And we all gonna be screwed. That's the only solace I get. Like, this, like, you literally set yourself on fire to teach me a lesson, my black ass. How dare I try to fire for anything? Okay.
It's happening. Yeah, it's happening. I hear it all the time at work. You know, Obama was this, Obama was that, Trump is doing this, Trump was that. Then them dumbasses realized that they was on fucking Obamacare. When Sally and damn Jeff can't get their, you know, Ritalin medication and they got to pay out of pocket full. It's an issue then. You didn't realize. That's why that shit was so cheap when you was getting it. I don't feel sorry for it, because this is what you voted for. You voted for trash. That's what you thought trash was going to be for you, was going to be helping you. But at the end of the day, all he cares about is his goddamn self. He don't care a shit about y'all. And y'all gonna feel it. Same way that he went to them Kentucky and Ohio and all those, you know, blue collar states, you know, saying that he's for the people. He's for the people who work hard and, you know, the backbone. He even went to fucking Detroit, to the people who work on the cars. He did all that shit. And look how he got y'all.
Every industry in all those states are failing.
Failing. Ass out. Obama, you ain't had those issues when Obama was in there. You just had an issue, but you didn't like it just because there was this black man up in office. But you were still getting your paycheck. You still was getting your insurance. You was getting all of your 401k. You was getting all that. Nothing was bothering them points. Now look what's going on with you.
I haven't even checked my 401k. I'm back to not checking it. It was a point where I was not checking that shit. I'm right back to not checking it because I do not want to see. Oh my God, this motherfucker. Oh, he's so stupid.
Oh,
it just pisses me off. And it's just so much is happening. It's very hard for me to keep up with it. But this is something I want. I'm trying to really avoid anything political, at least until 2020. Just give me till 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'll start paying attention. I've got my ears to the ground now, and I'm, you know, looking at certain things. But right now, if you do not have a plan, and if you're a Democrat and you do not have a plan, meaning I don't care what you promise, if you do not have a plan on how you plan to accomplish this and carry it out,
right,
and implement it, kiss my ass. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. I'm only listening to motherfuckers with plans. If you have a plan and you have a way to fund it and you have a way to implement it, talk to me. But Bernie, you can go home. Bernie, leave. Bitch, leave. You're not even a Democrat and you're running as a Democrat and they're giving you all that money. But you're not going to do that thing.
It's like 5 million of them. So it's kind of like you weed them out because they're
next nine for the next debate. So they've got, I think David, is it David Yang? Yang is his last name. Yang is the last person to make it. But a lot of people ended up getting cut. But my top five.
Too many of them.
Yeah, like my top five made it. So I wasn't really worried about it. But
your top five made it.
I mean, listen, I'm listening to them. I'm waiting for them to just, you know, of course, let's get them weeded out early, okay? Because by 2020, we'd have it narrowed down to like a tight three or two, like by 2020.
Yeah, see, I can do better with that. Right now, it's just too many of them. It's just too much. And just like what you said, everybody has like these ideas and, you know, like what Elizabeth Warren talking about, she wants to eliminate student debt. Don't get my hopes up, sis.
Listen, all I know is
who Sally Mae and who all these other folks out of here. Don't get my hopes up, and it don't happen.
Let me tell you something. This next election, all I know is taxes going up on the rich. I'm sorry, but I hope everybody understands now where you are and how much money these motherfuckers done made. It's nothing wrong with people making money. It's nothing wrong with people being rich. But at the end of the motherfucking day, guess what? You're no longer going to do it at my expense. You're no longer going to do it at the expense of roadways, education, hospitals, community services, social services. Figure it the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all going to pay y'all motherfucking taxes. You be rich as you want. I don't give a fuck how you make your money, but figure it out.
Yep.
And you're no longer going to do this shit at my expense. But by the time we're done with this shit, I want $80,000 a year to be middle class again. Because now, in order for you to qualify to even rent an apartment, you need to make at least $60,000 a year.
Isn't that crazy?
And that is wild, because I remember the very first time I had an apartment, I was paying, like, for my efficiency, it was like $390 a month.
Mm.
And that was like in 2001.
It's crazy now. I just, like, I moved to Atlanta in 2011. I moved, like, the area I live in is, it's maybe about 15 minutes from, like, Buckhead and stuff. It's a nice area. It's right off of 285, like Perimeter Mall is like a really nice, you know, good area. I'm like 18 miles from downtown, which is where I work. Like, it's a good, it's a really good, love the area. So I was paying for a 2-bedroom, it was 1,200 square feet, and I was paying $700 a month.
That was
2011. Like, I was like, oh. And it wasn't like a brand new, but it was still a super nice apartment. Now, like, excuse me? Like, you're not going to get those prices. Like, if you're getting them prices, you're going to be, like, two hours outside of Atlanta. Like, there's no way you're going to pay that. Like, the apartments around here are crazy. The houses and stuff around here are, like, crazy. Like, they built some townhouses next to me, and they're starting off in, like, the mid-400s. Mm-hmm. And then they have some houses a little ways down from me that are starting in the low-900s. And, like, so what y'all trying to charge versus the rate y'all are paying folks around here, shit don't add up, bruh, at all. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, it's such a struggle for people to, like, get affordable. And, you know, not even just affordable housing, but housing where it's safe. Like, niggas don't want to be living places where, you know, they got to look behind their back all the time and hope nobody don't, like, rob them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not fair.
Listen, and that's the other thing. Like, we are headed for a recession. It isn't a matter of if. It's pretty much when. When, like, if that motherfucker hasn't already started hitting parts of the country already. It just, where you are, it probably just hasn't hit you yet, but it's coming. Because none of this stuff is sustainable. It's just not. And I'm sorry, but I'm sitting up here reading all these analysts, and, you know, they keep having these little spins, like, you know, if maybe it could happen, but then again, maybe not. You know, there could be a bright side. And I'm like, y'all did this the last time. Y'all did this the last time. And I was like, and then when that shit hit, y'all was sitting up there acting like you were so stunned. And that's all they gonna do is sit up there and act stunned. You know, that's all they do is fuck shit up and act like they can't believe it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They surely do.
What? You crashed the economy. What? Bankrupted every fucking business he's ever been involved with. That's what
every last one.
He doesn't care about this shit.
All he doing with China.
Okay, we talked about China last week. I'm not getting into this again. Let me tell you something. Let me know when I can stop paying Damien. Just tell me when I can stop.
Listen.
Tell me when. I mean that shit. So listen to this.
Give me the notice.
Who?
No, I said give me the notice. Like, absolutely.
Tell me. Tell me. Because I'm going to stop paying that bitch so fast. So hard. Joe Biden told a group of mostly Asian and Hispanic voters in Iowa on Thursday that poor kids are just as bright as white children. The former vice president, known for his verbal gaffes, made the remarks to the Asian and Latino Coalition in Des Moines, Iowa, where he's on a four-day campaign swing for the Democratic presidential nomination. We should challenge students in these schools and have advanced placement programs in these schools, Biden said. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. He quickly added, wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it. We think how we're going to dumb it down. They can do anything anybody else can do given a shot. Biden, 76, has been criticized for his tendency to say awkward, sometimes surprising things. When his future boss, Barack Obama, was running for president, Biden once remarked that Obama was clean and articulate, a remark that raised eyebrows. The reelection campaign of President Donald Trump, under a barrage of criticism from Biden and other Democrats for what they term racist rhetoric, posted a video of Biden's remark. Kate Bedingfield, Biden's deputy campaign manager, said in a statement on Friday that Biden misspoke and immediately corrected himself during a refrain he often uses, namely how to level the playing field for low-income students. She said, she also said incorrectly that the video only contained the first part of Biden's sentence. She added, and it's no coincidence this comes days after Joe Biden laid out how this president emboldens white nationalism, embraces racism. Girl, bye. That nigga said what the fuck he said.
The thing is, you know, I remember they were talking about this Sunday, and I forgot which analyst said it, but I agree with him when he was like, you know, the thing is with Biden is Biden's going to say what he wants to say, and it's not going to change anything. Like, he's still going to have the backing. So,
right.
It doesn't matter. Like, y'all can criticize it and be like, oh, I'm so appalled he said that. That shit ain't going to change.
I honestly...
He's been like this before.
He's not going to get it. It's not going to be him or Bert. Like, and that's the point. They're not going to, like, once people really hear what the other candidates have to say, they're not going to get it. He's not going to get it. Child, he need to go talk to his son who's running around marrying South African directors and shit that he just met in within 3 days.
Listen.
To go handle his business.
Scandalous. I read that shit. I was like, oh.
That's the same one that messed with his brother's widow, like right after he died, too.
Yeah, I was
like, that was so inappropriate. Oh my god, that was so inappropriate.
Scandalous, honey.
Honey.
Yeah. I remember that.
I was like, we need to unpack this shit right here.
Oh my god. Yeah, but how old is Biden? Biden ain't gonna change. That mouth gonna be running just like how it's gonna be running. He ain't gonna change shit. He might say he's sorry just to save face, but that's not gonna change nothing. Mm-hmm. Biden gonna be in your hood, you know, local grocery store. He gonna be at the soul food restaurant. Like, Biden is Biden. Ain't nothing gonna change with him.
Mm-hmm. Listen. He is what he is, but I just was like, they're just as smart as the white kids. Oh, okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, sure, that's how you just got to take him. Like, oh, okay, yeah, and it's true. He said some stuff, and even like when he was with, you know, Barack, and Barack had to be like, But if he ain't going, he's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
He's not going to change.
And I'm not putting up with no more of this shit. I want somebody that knows how to talk to people. Not just themselves. I want someone who knows how to talk to people. Lord. So, do you remember this week where across Mississippi there were those raids on the poultry food processing plants, and they rounded up about 680 workers.
Now this one, I don't know.
Okay, so earlier this week, ICE conducted targeted raids on food processing plants in Mississippi. And they was the largest raid in a single day of undocumented workers. And they rounded up upwards of 620 people. And it was, that many people. And it was a nightmare because most of these people had families. It was the first day of school. And these children were sitting around waiting for their parents to come get them.
Oh, my God.
Across Mississippi. And there was no one there. They didn't have any way for them to get home. They had to rely on, like, neighbors and the kindness of strangers to watch them.
How scary is that? What?
And now we know why. The arrest targeted chicken processing plants operated by Koch Foods, one of the largest poultry producers in the United States, which last year Koch Foods paid out $3.75 million to settle an Equal Employment Opportunities Commission class action suit charging the company with sexual harassment, national origin and race discrimination, and retaliation against Latino workers at one of its Mississippi plants. And labor activists say it's the latest raid to target factories where immigrant workers have organized unions, fought back against discrimination, or challenged unsafe and unsanitary conditions. And these people won their case. And in one factory, the women came together to talk about that they were being sexually harassed and assaulted at work. And they won. And this is how they pay them back. By rounding them up. Trying to deport them. but they were so but they were so ill-equipped to handle that number of people, they ended up letting about 300 or so of them go. Because, you know,
evil.
Child care issues. But here, this is the thing. That's fucked up. Those children were devastated and crying and heartbroken. Their parents did not come. That's literally these children's worst nightmare.
That's traumatic. That is absolutely traumatic. Like, to wait for your parents and they're never coming back.
You never see them again with no explanation.
You have to go to maybe, and it's not even a guarantee, you maybe get to go to a neighbor's house.
You have an aunt or uncle or someone in the area or grandmother in the area or someone elder in your home who can come get you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because they might not live in the same area. So you said they could live in the same area. They could not. They could not be there, period. And then you have strangers and then nasty neighbors who, you know, again, can't trust everybody.
Coming to get your child.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's evil. That is just evil. I just can't. That is absolutely evil. Just because if you don't want to do the fuck right in your goddamn company.
And can you just imagine all them times when people said, you know, like, oh, white people were nicer to me than black people were.
Right. And look what that happened.
Like, I don't understand. Like, this is the level of just horridness in all of this. I am flabbergasted and astounded every day. Every day.
The only reason why they didn't go through with it 100% is because all of the workers that they lost. Not because they felt bad that they ain't shit.
Like, oh no, they're having a job fair this weekend. They're hiring.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I was like, well, good luck with that, because somebody had said, like, oh, you should ship all the coal miners down there. And I was like, I do not want them processing my food. Do not do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, let's not have that. That's fucking disgusting. Oh my gosh. Those poor children.
I ain't eating no poultry. I'm going to find me a chicken and wring its neck and pluck its feathers. I ain't buying
nothing. Have them in the yard, ready to go. Fresh.
And you know what? It is a few organic egg people around here who sell eggs and shit. So I'm going to see if they won't sell me a chicken. I'll wring its neck.
Well, I mean, in Atlanta, you can get somebody to get you a rooster.
Cock.
Damn.
You can get someone to give me a cock.
Oh, I almost choked. That is so
funny. You're gonna get someone to give me a cock.
Oh, that was so funny.
So here, little girl, we're gonna get into this musty shit because I can only imagine, and when I read this, I chuckled. It wasn't appropriate, but it just made me chuckle. So, a heated debate about market stalls was disrupted by a foul smell and furious finger pointing at a Kenyan regional assembly on Wednesday, local reports say. The honorable speaker, one of us has polluted the air, and I know who it is, Julius Gaya reportedly told Homa Bay County Assembly. But the member he accused of farting is said to have replied, I am not the one. I cannot do such a thing in front of my colleagues. Hoping to clear the air, the Assembly Speaker Edwin Cockage then
clear the air.
Cockage.
Pun.
Cockage. Then instructed members to step outside and take a break from the chamber. Reports also say he asked officials to bring in air fresheners to make it pleasant. Get whatever flavor you will find in any office, whether it's vanilla or strawberry. We cannot continue sitting in an environment that smells bad. And the smell is said to have subsided before any such sprays were found, allowing the debate to continue. Which, whew, but I mean, it just, the whole smell just stopped the whole debate in the first place. And it was like, wow. It's all happening. What? Somebody, they what were having a debate and somebody farted.
But for it to smell that bad, good God.
Probably.
And then we're not going to, no, let's not spray strawberry over it and we're going to have this strawberry lingered funk. No. No, that's not going to work. We're not going to mask the odor and make it even worse. I just keep thinking about, like, first thing you said that is, you remember Pigpen from Peanuts? Mm-hmm. And how he had, like, the cloud of stink. Like, I just see, like, I just feel like it was just, like, a whole
cloud. Like, was it a cloud of stink or was it a cloud of dirt?
I feel like it was a mixture. They couldn't deal. I feel like it was together.
I mean, but it could have been a cloud of stink because there were flies in it. But I always thought it was like a cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a whole mixture of dirt and funk and just trench foot, just like all like the layers of funk you can get. That's what Pigpen, and that's what the story gives me. Like, it just is the cover of stench. How do you fart and make? What the fuck are you been eating?
These motherfuckers, they sent me pointing fingers back and forth. It wasn't me. It was you. It was not me. It was you. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's funny though. I mean,
that's a diet change. Maybe y'all need to get some fiber in your diet.
Stop eating all that rain.
Yeah, man. That ain't supposed to come out no body that funky. Golly.
But it dissipated before they even had the spray, so they just, you know, they got it together. Okay, so this was an interesting story right here because this is my first time hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting. So, Rose Ruiz vowed to run the Boston Marathon again just to prove that she could do it. She never did. So Rose Ruiz, the Boston Marathon course cutter, who was stripped of her victory in the 1980 race and went on to become an enduring symbol of cheating in sports, has died. She was 66. Ruiz, who was also known as Rosie Vivas, died in Florida of cancer on July 8th. According to an obituary, that made no mention of her Boston Marathon infamy. Running Magazine first made the connection this week, a fitting end to one of the oddest chapters in the history of the race. It's a colorful part of the Boston Marathon. I know, right? It's a colorful part of the Boston Marathon history, that's for sure, said Bill Rogers, who won the men's race that year and was immediately suspicious of the woman sitting next to him on the awards podium. Poor Rosie, she took all of the brunt of it. An unknown who didn't look or act like she had just run 26.2 miles, Ruiz finished first in the women's division in Boston in 1980 in a then record time of 2 hours, 31 minutes and 56 seconds. Even as she was awarded her medal in the traditional olive wreath, her competitors wondered how a woman they hadn't ever heard of or seen on the course could have won. We knew that she had jumped in. We, who knew what the marathon was, we got it, Rogers told the Associated Press on Thursday. She wasn't sweating enough. She had on a heavy shirt. She didn't know about running. I was with her the next day on TV, and she was just crying her head off, Rogers said, adding that he thought Ruiz wanted to confess if she had just said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Runners, we all drop out of races. We would have understood. In an era before tracking chips and electronic checkpoints, race organizers used spotters to scribble down the bib numbers of runners going by. They focused mainly on the men's race. Ruiz didn't show up there on videotape or in any of the 10,000 photographs taken along the first 25 miles of the course. Grilled by the Boston Athletic Association, or BAA, about her training methods and pace, she had no answers and didn't seem to recognize terms that would be common to elite marathoners. She also couldn't identify landmarks she would have passed on the course. Two Harvard University students soon came forward to say they saw her join the race near Kenmore Square, about a mile from the finish. Ruiz was stripped of her title 8 days after the race. Canadian Jacqueline Giroux was declared the rightful winner and brought back to Boston the next month to receive her due. People, they're still sorry for me, but at the same time, I think they should feel sorry more for her, Giroux, who also came in second in Boston twice and had two other top 10 finishes, told the AP. It was never established how Ruiz got to Kenmore Square, but the ensuing investigation showed that she took the subway during the 1979 New York Marathon to obtain her qualifying time for Boston. Dang. The BAA declined to comment on her death. Ruiz also maintained that she won the race fairly and never returned the gold medal she received on race day.
Wow.
Oh, dang, they gave her a substitute. Oh.
What the fuck?
And then, yeah, Ruiz vowed to run Boston again to prove that she could do it. She never did. Born in Havana, Cuba, Ruiz came to the United States as an 8-year-old and settled with relatives in the Miami area. According to the obituary posted by the Quattlebaum Funeral Cremation and Event Center in West Palm Beach, Florida, she studied piano at Wayne State College in Nebraska, moved to New York for 5 years, and then back to Florida, where she worked as an accounts manager for a medical laboratory and as an accreditation specialist for the Better Business Bureau. She married Acaro Vivas in 1984, and the couple divorced 2.5 years later. According to the obituary, she is survived by her domestic partner, Margarita Alvarez, and a brother, Robert Ruiz.
Hmm. Hi, you know what? I'm just so speechless, like,
first, rest in peace to her and shit. Rest in peace or whatever.
But yes, rest in peace. Absolutely. But that is the, like, you die, and that is how people, that is what people remember you by.
Mm-hmm.
That's some shit, man. Like, you know, I was like, you know, whatever day God takes me off this earth, like, you know, I want to be known, you know, being nice and, you know, funny, you know, led people to the past from, you know, lime aritas to delicious craft beer. Like, those are the things I want to be remembered by. You know, not like, oh, that bitch cheated, man.
She rolled the fruit.
She cheated. That girl don't even run, man. She got first place and was acting as if she ran, like, 10 miles.
She took the subway to qualify. She hopped in the mile mark. And then, look, it didn't return the medal.
That's like, basically, she was like, so I'm going to take an Uber, right? and you just put me off at this street, and I'm going to just kind of like walk up to the finish line.
Yeah. Ain't that the plot for the tortoise and the hare and one of those Looney Tunes commercials? I mean, cartoons. I could have sworn that was like the whole plot. Like, that's some Acme-ass shit, my nigga. Like,
that really is. Like, I want to say it was some story with an older man. I don't know if this was Atlanta's race or just another race where he cheated as well. Like, he kind of, I think he took, like, a shortcut. He didn't do the actual route. He took, like, a shortcut and kind of, like, cruised in. I don't know if he won it or he got, like, you know, up there, like, maybe, like, top five or whatever. But then they saw him was like, you didn't run the race, though. Like, I would be 30 levels upset that, you know, I train every day. I'm sacrificing plenty and, like, fries and, like, mm-hmm. chicken wings. So I could get, like, you know, as athletic as possible, as lean as possible. I'm, you know, sacrificing time with my family, like, just all the stuff you got to do to prepare to run a marathon. And then to run it, and you thinking, like, this is going to be your best year, you know. And for some oddball lady to get it, like, number one, and you, like, you mean I sweated and did all of this? I could have broke my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bruh.
You did all
and
of that.
Stroll up and get my gold medal.
And you know, sometimes them runners, they be having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yup. They got to go to the bathroom. Like, you get it, like, when you see it's like the Kenyans or like the other Africans that like win and they blow like, put like a 10-mile race, it takes them like 2 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. you got to be humble. You got to respect them. It's like light work for them. You know, mm-hmm. that's just them. They just badass. You can't even complain, but. This shit? You don't even know what landmarks she's at.
Bruh, she didn't even know what landmarks.
She didn't even try. She didn't even try to act like she probably was like literally like regular clothes on. She could at least put some water on her face to act like she sweated something.
I mean, he was like, she was running in a sweatshirt. Like, he was like, just look at this.
Looking hey, like Felicia from Friday. That's what she runs. She gonna cry. Like, she did something. Oh, we fighting.
Did she go boo-hoo through the whole interview?
I just be like, she trained on something. Nope. We fighting. Like, just off gate. We fighting. That's sure. fucked up. And that's how people know you as you leave this world, as a cheater.
Mm-hmm. That lady.
Wow. R.I.P. though.
Yeah. She look, she got her medal. Look.
She got a medal. She did. Mm-hmm.
She said, fuck all y'all.
That's funny.
Yeah, my mother.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow.
Listen, it's wild out here.
Mm.
Wow, man. It's wow. They wilding out here. So, I don't know if I want to do this particular one. It's about ICE again, and this one's mm-hmm. sad. A young man who grew up in Detroit and had never been to Iraq. He knew no one there, did not speak any of the language. He didn't speak Arabic at all. And he had nowhere to live when he was deported.
Oh.
Yeah, so Jimmy Al-Duad was born in a refugee camp in Greece 41 years ago to Iraqi parents. 6 months later, they moved to the U.S. Though he was undocumented, he spent most of his life in Detroit, where this year Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested him, then deported him to Iraq in June. In a video posted to Facebook 2 weeks after his deportation, Al-Duad had said, I begged them. I said, please, I've never seen this country. I've never been there. However, they forced me. I'm here now, and I don't understand the language or anything. I've been sleeping in the street. I'm diabetic. I take insulin shots. I've been throwing up and trying to find something to eat. I've got nothing over here, as you can see. And now, according to Politico, Al-Duad has died, apparently because he was unable to get insulin to treat his diabetes. And an immigration attorney, Edward Bajoka, wrote in his Facebook page, he was forcefully deported to Iraq a couple months ago. He was born in Greece and had never been to Iraq. Mm-hmm. He knew no one there. He did not speak Arabic. He was a member of the Chaldean minority group. He was a paranoid schizophrenic. His mental health was the primary reason for his legal issues that led to his deportation. Rest in peace, Jimmy. Your blood is on the hands of ICE and this administration.
That's so extreme sad.
Yeah. And
my goodness.
I know. On Twitter, Congressman Andy Levin of Michigan wrote, it was clear that deporting Jimmy to a country where he had never been, had no identification, had no family, had no knowledge of geography or customs, did not speak the language, and ultimately had no access to medical care would put his life in extreme danger, he added. My Republican colleagues and I have repeatedly called on the executive branch to cease deportation of such vulnerable people. Now someone has died. Since Donald Trump took office, he's made deportation a central facet of his presidency, stripping protections from immigrants who came to the country legally and dramatically threatening raids across the country. According to the Detroit News, as more and more Iraqi refugees in the area are being targeted for deportation, many of them have begun cutting off ankle monitors they're legally required to wear. Seven reportedly did so in June alone, and that violation could likely speed up their deportation. After a 2017 raid where ICE detained over 100 Iraqi nationals, some of whom had American children that lived in the United States for decades, the American Civil Liberties Union argued in federal court that many of them faced torture and even death in Iraq for being members of a Christian minority, for helping the U.S. military, or simply for applying for asylum in the U.S. So Iraq is a country still reeling from the destabilizing U.S. military occupation and is issuing these deportees visas that are only valid for 24 hours, according to Michigan Public Radio. After one day, they've once again become undocumented, leaving them paperless and stateless in a country where not having proper identification papers can be lethal. So good job, America.
Golly, that's extremely sad.
Yeah.
Look what, you know, you put all your services and efforts towards. Mm-hmm. The shit that don't fucking matter, and somebody had to pay their price with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, disgusting. Yep. It's disgusting.
Listen, honey. That's raggedy. They raggedy. And I'm
that's y'all president. That's who the fuck y'all decided.
That's what y'all voted for. I didn't vote for this. I voted for Hillary, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can say that with pride.
Mm-hmm.
As I vape on this pen. But that's fucked up, you know, like, that's just fucked up, like, bruh. And that's the other part to it. He had mental health issues, hence how he probably ended up arrested in the first place, where they ran his fingerprints to find out that he was undocumented. Like, just mm-hmm. ugly. Just mm-hmm. ugly.
That's extremely ugly. It just makes you so upset. Like I said, the things that they decide to put all their focus on instead of like real serious stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, that's not racist.
Yeah.
But, you know, instead they're worrying about water being dumped over police officers.
Yeah.
And treating yeah. just respectable people with just the least regard of respect. They're more worried about that.
Yeah. So I think the joke really is on Obama, jokes on him for trying to be a decent person.
Mm-hmm.
And just showing mm-hmm. people what decency looks like. Jokes on him. They didn't deserve mm-hmm. it. They didn't deserve it.
They don't. No. Absolutely not.
So, I've got... I've got one more.
Okay.
One more story. You ready? And it's not... I mean, it's a little sad, but it's not sad, sad. So, you all are aware that we lost Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker this summer. Former boxing champion.
Yeah.
Remember Sweet Pea?
Yeah, I remember him. Like, he got in a car, was it a car accident?
He got hit by a car crossing the street.
Hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus,
yep.
Lord.
He was a pedestrian. He was hit by a vehicle. And it's sad, you know. He was a Virginia native, and I remember watching him growing up, and he was pound for pound one of the best fighters in the 80s. Yeah. Very good. So one last story. So as usual, no one could lay a glove on Pernell Whitaker. The top fighters in the world couldn't land a clean shot when he was right in front of them. What chance did a couple of reporters have of getting to him with a security guard and a glass door between us and Whitaker? We were waiting for Whitaker outside a building at the Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastota, New York, where he was being inducted that day in 2007. Reporters from all over were there to see Whitaker and Roberto Duran take their place among the sports immortals. Canastota is a leafy slice of a small town, Americana, about 20 miles east of Syracuse. The induction that year was a homie affair that combined the local, a parade with Little League baseball players and a roller skating club with the worldly, convertibles carrying boxing legends like Marvin Hagler and Alexis Arguello. I like Marvin Hagler growing up too. Access to the inductees was limited. I was commiserating with a reporter who had come all the way from London when Whitaker spotted me outside the door and motioned for me to come in. I thought of that moment and others over the years when I heard Whitaker died Sunday night after being hit by a pickup truck in Virginia Beach. I covered Whitaker for years. Covering boxing, at least at that time, was not like covering other sports. The Canastota weekend aside, boxing provided journalists more access than any other sport. Fighters from Jack Dempsey to Muhammad Ali had writers in their camps, and the tradition was still alive when Whitaker was the world's best pound-for-pound fighter in the 1990s. I followed Whitaker to training camps in San Antonio, to fights in St. Martin, New York City, and State Line, Nevada, when a shoulder injury prevented him from continuing his last fight and from appearing at the post-fight press conference. I drove to the hospital emergency room across the state line in Lake Tahoe, California. "Is Pernell Whitaker here?" I asked the nurse at the window. "All the boxers are here," she said. After a while, Whitaker emerged, his arm in a sling. He didn't have a ride back to the hotel, so I gave him one. Along the way, Whitaker told me he was retiring. The end was already looming when I got on the Whitaker beat. Whitaker was in the last stages of his career, and there was as much news in the courts as in the ring. I wrote some hard stories about Whitaker when drug use impacted his boxing career or landed him in legal trouble and eventually jail. He hit bottom after his career ended, facing jail time for a probation violation stemming from a cocaine charge in 2002. He told me, "I don't want nobody to worry about me. Nobody worried about me in the ring." There was no need. Whitaker could handle himself like few fighters ever have. A defensive magician, he was vapor, capable of disappearing in plain sight. Fighting in his trademark crouch, he'd fire punches from crazy angles before slipping away again. He pitched shutouts, tying opponents in knots. It was three-dimensional chess in a sport in which some fans prefer bumper cars. Aficionados got Whitaker, even if some casual fans didn't. He didn't court attention, unlike some fighters. He didn't have a large entourage, unlike others like Sugar Ray Leonard or Oscar De La Hoya. He wasn't polished in the art of public relations. What you saw was what you got. The consummate boxer, Whitaker was fiercely protective of his ring legacy and tight-lipped about most everything else. including his personal life. He was proud and private. Reporters like me could get to him, but not really know him. He wasn't always happy with the questions or the coverage. Still, he waved me past a security guard in Canastota that day. I appreciated the kindness. Whitaker didn't need any Hall of Fame to cement his legacy, but it meant a lot to him. He was beaming, as happy as I've seen him, and that's how I'd like to remember him. So I thought that was a nice story where he just, you know, was kind of talking about the last time he saw him. And rest in peace to Pernell Whitaker, man. That was another, you know, legend of our time who's, you know, been taken from us. And yeah, if you're a real boxing fan, you definitely appreciated him and for what he offered.
Mm. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about him. So that was a lot of like good information.
Yeah. I watched him fight and he did. He had a way of ducking where it's like he just was like almost all the way down on the ground. And he could just, you know, fade left, fade right, and then he'd be back up. Next thing you know, he'd come with an uppercut or a cross, and it was just, he was a good fighter. And it's funny that he's from Virginia because I always thought he was from New York.
But, really?
But he was from Virginia. And it was sad that happened. So on that note, my dear, that is all that I have for us this evening.
Oh.
Did you have fun?
Had a lot for us. This was excellent.
Yay.
I had a grand old time.
Amazing, honey. We covered a lot. We talked a lot about cock.
We did. Especially about that.
We covered all the cock. We covered it.
Oh my gosh, I can't stop laughing now.
I'm telling you, it is the best word ever. People just have to kind of like get, it's going to take a minute, but I promise everyone's going to see what I see when I think of cock.
Okay.
So
I'm sure they will. Oh,
Lord. Okay, so really quickly, everybody, thank you for listening. As you are aware, the show is switching over. So all I did was just switch, you know, the old show name to the new show name. So hopefully if you already subscribed, you are getting the new episodes as they are loading and you still have access to all of the old Cooking the Gooch content. So we wanted to make sure that you still had that because we talked about a lot. And so, again, the new show is called Highly Inappropriate. That's Highly Inappropriate, hosted by Cook Simmons. You can catch us on iTunes, Twitter, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podomatic, and anywhere where RSS Radio is picked up. And I've officially switched the name on the Facebook page for the show, which is now Highly Inappropriate. And the only thing that has not really been officially switched over is the Twitter page, because I have to figure out how to do that yet, but you know, I'm getting to it. Remember, I do have a day job and shit, so I'm gonna get to that shit and shit, but you know, for the most part, we still here, we still going. So thank y'all for sticking with a bitch or whatever. We're going to still continue to bring new content to you every week, and hopefully next month in September you can make it to our first annual live show. We'll be having that on September 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. Tickets are only $15. And if you want to eat when you get there, we have some food and libation tickets available as well for you to purchase. So you can get in and get your little eat on. And we're going to have, you know, a few little games we play when we get there. So it should be a lively event. Good times, fun times, lots of shenanigans to be had. You'll love it. So hopefully we'll see you there. And I want to thank my lovely co-host for the evening, Miss Deirdre from Where's My 40 Acres. Thank you for coming, sis.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you for thinking about me to come on.
Of course.
Anytime you need me, honey.
Absolutely. I just, listen, sis, are you going to Titties and Chicken again this year?
I'm thinking about it. I'm on the fence.
Come.
Not that I don't want, and it's not because of the people. It's, you know, funding. So that's why I'm 50-50. Yeah, it's not about y'all. It's about the funding. So, well, yeah,
Okay. Look, we'll talk offline. Yeah. We'll talk offline or whatever. Because the gang's all going to be there and we're going to have a few new faces, but it's people we already know. So I'm looking forward to that. But I can't wait. I'm ready to go.
Ooh. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had fun last time. It was fun.
Yes, yes. We'll do it again. So, anywho. Thank y'all for listening, y'all. I'm about to go. Tell them where they can find you or whatever.
Oh yes, hey y'all. But you can find me on on Twitter. I am Miss Music Lover, MS Music Lover. That is also where you can find me on Instagram. And if you want to learn more about craft beer, or if you have any questions about craft beer. I have reviews. I try to make it as simple as possible to understand craft beer, how delicious it is, and how it is just such best decision. My Instagram page is Craft Beer Killer, like Killer, like Ghostface Killer, like Boom. You know what I'm saying? And if you have any, if you want to email me any questions about craft beer, or you know, some people around you drink craft beer, and y'all want to send a sister some beer. You can email me at thecraftbeerkiller@gmail.com.
All right. So thank you once again for joining us. I had a blast with you, like I always do every time we get together. And yeah. So we gotta fun. Do this again.
Anytime you need me.
Yay. I'm totally, listen, like I said, I got some stuff in the works. So if you like it, I'm totally going to pull you in and you'll love it. Thank y'all. Once again, you can find me as always on IG at Cook_Simmons. You can also find us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, anywhere your RSS feed radio is picked up. We're there, and it's Highly Inappropriate, hosted by Cook Simmons, the name of the show again, Highly Inappropriate, hosted by Cook Simmons. That is the full name that will get you to where we are located. So once again, see y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. God bless y'all. Have a good night. About to go smoke some more trees, get in the bed and shit. Wish you have a good night.